desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. We have been, for the last few weeks, examining the passage of Scripture in 1 Peter. In the second chapter, beginning with verse 21, I'd like to direct our attention there again this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And the focus of our burden today is Jesus, our example. The Scripture says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps." And we have examined the call that God has given to us. He knows our name, He knows where we're living, and He has a specific call for each one of us in our life. We have looked at how we have a choice as to how to respond to the call. We can obey, or we can delay, have delayed obedience, or we can just say no, and we have a choice as to how we're going to respond. And then we have spent a substantial amount of time examining and looking at fellowshipping the sufferings of Christ. When we choose to follow Jesus, there is a cross involved in it, and there's going to be some suffering that comes along with it. Now, it said that Jesus suffered for us, leaving us an example. And the purpose of Christ's example was that we would follow His steps, that we would live like He lived. You can walk in the stores, and you just go to Walmart or wherever, about. You can go to about any store that sells clothing, and you're going to find the clothes being advertised on a familiar face. That was one of the, just recently, one of the big questions that had arose with Tiger Woods, and some of the difficulties that he was going through in life was, is he still going to keep his contracts with those that are marketing Nike, for example? They pay millions of dollars to Tiger Woods to advertise their product. And the question was, is Nike still going to pay him to advertise their product? They might not want their product to be on him any longer. There were some people that dropped their advertisements with him, and others kept him. Sports figures and actors, those that are in the movie industry, we see people trying to emulate them. And that's the reason why they pay billions of dollars, in essence. It's a marketing with billions of dollars to have people advertise their product so that the common man will look on and say, "Oh, I want to be like that person." And I've always wondered, I've never been someone that wanted to emulate the people that are out in the world to have a jersey with a certain number. I want to be wearing Michael Jordan's number. I don't even know what his number was. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of sales because people think if I can wear his number, maybe I'll be, I don't know if they think they'll play basketball better or what. I don't know. But they want to emulate their heroes. And that's why people get their hair cut in unique ways. Because I want to look like this person. And they try to walk like the people that they're heroes. They want to walk like him. And they try to even get the lingo of those that they admire. I want to talk like him. And there are other people, and I will confess I probably fall more into this category. The category that says, "I don't want to be like anybody else. I'm my own man. And I'm not going to try to dress like somebody else. I'm not going to try to look like someone else. And I'm my own person." But do you know that both of those extremes, that God has called us to something different? It said, "Hereunto were ye called." And the purpose was that we would follow in His steps. He left us an example. And there are some people that say, I want to dress and I want to be just like this person. And I want to say, if you want to be like your hero, if it's someone other than Jesus Christ, it's going to lead you down a wrong path. But it will also lead us down the wrong path when we get an independent streak, and it comes out in a form of rebellion sometimes that says, if you're doing it, I'm not going to do it. We see people with a rebellious attitude get that sometimes. I'll just do something just to be contrary. I'm my own person. I'll dress like I want. I'll comb my hair like I want. I'll go where I want. And because I'm my own unique person. But folks, if we're going to follow the Lord this morning, it means we're going to have to leave the ways of other people behind. We're going to have to leave our own ways and our own ideas and have a purpose in our heart that, Lord, my utmost desire is I want to be like Jesus. And folks, we already brought out in this series of messages, if we say we're Christians, it means something. It means I'm like Christ. It means I'm following Jesus. I would this morning that we get our eyes focused on the one that is calling us to follow Him. He left us an example. We need to measure our lives by Jesus Christ. Have you ever gotten into a discussion with someone on what the standard is? Have you argued with someone about it? Bring up the hot button issues of the standard. And there's a place for discussion. But if we do not measure to the standard of Jesus Christ, all of our discussions and all of our arguments and all of our traditions and all of the practices that we have of the people, they are in vain. Jesus is an unmovable standard. He does not move with the time. He does not change with culture. He does not transition from this 100 years to that 100 years. But He has left us an example. And Jesus is our standard. Someone says, well, what's the standard? Folks, the standard is Jesus Christ today. And I find that many people that argue to lower the standard, or those that want to raise it to something different, more often than not, they're not even keeping the standard of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I would this morning, that we look at a little bit, the standard, the example. Do you think a standard's important? Those of you that are carpenters, and I'm not a carpenter, I cut wood and I enjoy basic little remodeling things, and it's not complicated. But I do know this, that if I'm going to cut some wood and I need them all the same length, I'm going to use a ruler, and I'm going to use a measure, and I'm going to cut it according to that measuring stick, and I'm going to use that stick for every time I cut a piece of wood. But if I cut a piece of wood and pick up the one I just cut and use that, mark it and cut it, and then take that one, what's going to happen after you cut so many pieces of wood? You're going to come up short. And you can line all these pieces of wood together and it's going to be at an angle. Because every time you make a cut, it's going to be a little bit different. And that's why you use a ruler or a measuring tape, because we need to measure the same standard. Do you know what happens to people in church when we use each other as a measuring stick to define our life spiritually? We're going to find that our life in the spiritual life that we have with God is going to change year to year, generation to generation, because I'm not looking to the Lord as my example anymore, but I'm saying, am I just as spiritual, at least on the outside, do I measure to the standard of the people I worship with? I am not your standard this morning. The Scripture teaches to consider those that have gone before, and there's value in that. But folks, when it comes down to it, and I stand before the judgment seat of God, the Lord's not going to look at me and say, Michael, why didn't you measure Brother Randy? Why didn't you measure his standard? Or why he's not going to take Brother Cook and bring you up before my eyes at the judgment and say, Michael, I'm measuring you to Brother Cook. You fell short. Who am I going to be measured to? I'm going to be measured to Christ, aren't I? So the question then is, and we'll get into this another Sunday, but how are we doing? But I want us to know, and Lord help us to get in our hearts and minds this morning, that Jesus, folks, is our example. The example He sets is unmovable. There's a scripture, I like that. Let's just turn and read it in Proverbs 11. In the first verse. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. He said, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. In other words, a false measurement, a false weight. You know, in days of old, you go into to buy your grain. Actually, I may still do this. We buy it in bags at the store. But if you go to buy it in bulk, They have a weight on one end. They have a scale. And on one end, there is a weight on a balance beam, in essence. And they fill the grain, fill the bag up until it's balanced. But people that aren't honest, and I always wonder this when I go to the gas station still, is like, I hope they're using a just measure. It wouldn't take a lot for them to change the little dial and how fast it moves. Well, you put a false weight on one end of it, and they'll say, we just sold you 5 kilograms. But if they have a false weight on it, you don't know if they did or not. Folks, when we begin to measure our lives spiritually, we need to measure it to a fixed weight. And if I recall correctly, and I'm pulling back from high school now, but what is a gram? You realize that there is a standard for what a gram is, and I believe it's kept in Switzerland, or in Sweden rather. I believe it's kept in Sweden. There is a measurement that is the world standard for how much a gram is. And it's kept in a glass enclosed case so that no dust or dirt or anything can get on that weight to change the weight. They don't want anything to change it. That's the standard. What about time? Have you ever set one clock in your house by another clock in your house? And then you set another clock by that clock and another clock by that clock? And you've been off? What happens through time if you didn't check by a standard? What's going to happen to your time? You're going to either be losing time or gaining time, aren't you? Do you know that there's a standard of time in Greenwich, England, the Royal Observatory? There is a world standard time that most countries use to set their time by. And then now we all pull out our cell phone and say, okay, this is the right time, and we change our clocks to that. At least I do. But do you know, because I need a standard. Otherwise, I think the one in our bedroom, it's a couple minutes off. I don't like it. I want to be able to look at something and know it's time. I was at someone's house one time, and so it's time to go to service. We're going to be late. We need to go. We need to leave now. It's time to leave. It's like, well, it's 15 minutes off. Why would you set your clock 5 minutes off or 15 minutes off? Because psychologically you think, well, I'll be to church on time then. No, you won't. Because in your mind you're always going to say, well, we've got 15 more minutes. People are playing games psychologically if you don't set your clock on time, folks. He may differ with me this morning, but that's my opinion. But spiritually, folks, we need to set a standard, and we need to hold to it. And I want us to know that the ultimate standard that is unchanging is Jesus Christ. And if we use ourselves and say, well, I have got a better attitude than they do, that's not the issue. The issue is my attitude like my example? The standard Jesus said, love your enemies. I heard someone recently get up and talk about a hurt that they have. And they thought someone needed to change. And they were full of bitterness and anger. And I thought you could talk about someone else needing to change. But if you don't forgive, you're not meeting the standard, which is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what everybody else in the congregation does. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Our standard is Christ, folks. And we're called to follow His example. And so we can get out of sorts with each other. I hope we don't. But I know people do sometimes. And we can argue, well, they're holding that, and we don't have to do that, or they're thinking I shouldn't do that, and I am. And we can get into an argument or a discussion, a place of difference. But where we need to start is what's the standard. What's unmovable and unchanging is the Word of God, which is an expression of Jesus Christ Himself. The Scripture said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Folks, this is our standard. And you can go to many different churches today and you can hear different things being preached. You can hear different standards being promoted in hell. But where we need to start, if we are God's people, is, Lord, what is our standard? The ultimate standard or example or pattern is Jesus Christ. It's unchanging and it's unmovable. That's one of the reasons Jesus came and walked the earth as a man. He came to set an example. You know, when you sisters are going to make a dress or sew something, you use a pattern, don't you? something with fixed guidelines. It's fixed. It doesn't change. This is the way it's supposed to be according to the pattern I'm using. How many times have you deviated from the pattern? Do you know how many people are deviating from the pattern this morning? It's not going to look like it's supposed to look, even though you use most of the lines that were in the pattern. But there's some things I want to do a little differently. Folks, when we stand before God this morning, we're going to be judged according to the pattern. According to the example and the standard that Jesus Christ set. And there may be things I don't really like. There is going to be a cross that I'm going to have to carry to measure my life and fit my life to the pattern. You know, that's why the Lord comes along and prunes and purges. It's just like cutting out a piece of material, and I'm not real into that. But it's when you start sniffing, you're trying to get it according to the pattern. There's some excess here. That's what the Lord's trying to do. He's not trying to make our life difficult this morning. But the Lord is trying to conform, that we can be conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So then, it's important that I know what the standard is. What is the example? How do I measure my life? Folks, there is one standard this morning. There is one measure. And Jesus said in John 13 and 15, and he was speaking specifically of feet washing. But Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." I've given you an example that you should do like I have done. Are we following his example this morning? Is that the standard of our life? And like I said, we're going to get here, but it comes down to a simple question. What would Jesus do? What would he do if he were right here with me? What would he do? And so it's imperative that we examine the life of Christ. That we know who he was. That we know how he lived. That we know what he taught. So how did he live? That's the standard now. For even hereunto were ye called, as Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example or a pattern that we should follow in his steps. Over in John in the 5th chapter, John chapter 5, beginning with verse 30. Jesus, and we're just going to get the latter part of this verse. Jesus was speaking and he said, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Okay, we're talking about the example that Jesus left. Then that's how we are to live. Jesus, the standard, the example, said specifically here that he seeks not his own will, but the will of him that sent me. So whose will are we seeking today? In our choices and in our decisions, are we following the example of Christ, who as our standard said, "I'm not doing what I want to do." He said, "But I am here to do the will of God. I want his will to be accomplished in my life." You know, that would take care of a lot of hot button issues, folks. This is where it starts. Am I making my decisions and my choices based on the standard, which is, "Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in my life"? The scripture over in 1 Peter, we'll go back to it now and continue reading. He said he left us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, folks, the next few things gives us a list of the example of things that we are to follow. He said, "Who did no sin." You think the scripture would teach us to not sin if it was impossible? And that's another one that's coming in this series. It is possible to live this way. But we need to know what way we're supposed to live to start with. We can live through the divine power of Christ. We can live without sin, folks. Jesus gave us an example. He set a standard. He said, "This is so you will follow my example." And that means that the world that teaches and promotes that you cannot live free from sin, they have denied the standard and the example that Jesus left for us. I don't want to measure my life on what a group of ministers or a group of men get together and have a theological discussion on something. I can't measure my life to that. I want to measure my life to the example and the standard that Jesus set for me. That's my standard. And it says here, he did no sin. In other words, that's the example he left for us. The utmost desire of his heart was to do the will of God. It was his love. Jesus had 100% heart devotion to the things of God. Folks, that's our standard, isn't it? It's repeated in the scripture in different ways, in different passages. But the essence of the example of Jesus was, love the Lord with all of your heart. So you say, well, I sure don't like what they're saying I have to do. But are we doing what Jesus said to do? That's where it starts, isn't it? Love the Lord with all of your heart. And because of Jesus' devotion, he suffered, he was rejected, he was despised, he was mocked, he was made fun of, but he did it to set a standard, an example, that let your life be a life of devotion to God the Father. Our purposes, folks, our goals, our devotions, and where our heart is, what are we following after this morning? Our standards is Jesus Christ. He went on to say here, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know what guile is? It's what? Hidden sin. Deceit. Something that's, in a lie is a form of guile, isn't it? You know, there is no room in the life of a Christian, someone who's Christ-like, to tell a lie. Nor is there any room if I tell you something with the intent, and I'm watching my words real carefully so my words are truthful, but what I'm communicating is not. You know, you can do that. He said, I didn't tell a lie. Everything I said was true, but you said it with the intent to deceive. The scripture says there was no guile found in his mouth. Folks, this is basic, but this is the standard. That as children of God, we are to be transparent. That what we say is the way it is. And we're not going to say someone thing with the purpose of deceiving. Now, just because someone asks you a question doesn't mean you always have to answer it. Okay? There are some people, they get nosy and they ask questions. It's none of their business. You don't have to answer it, but you can't deceive them. You shouldn't tell them a lie, because if you do, you are outside of God's will, and that's sin. Jesus, our standard, it said, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did not use flattery. And I'm being honest, Lord help me. But I'll be open about this. I have to have the Lord help me when I think someone's trying to flatter me. I know people that wherever they go and who they talk to, they flatter. Flattery is not just giving a compliment. And I don't know anybody here. I'm not talking about anybody here. But there are people that they have their words are flattering. And I have found with too many that there's deceit behind it. They're doing it that I can get what I want. If I can make them feel good, then they'll be back. They'll back me. But don't turn your back on that kind of person. I found it over and over and over. People that flatter, more often than not, they're deceitful people. Our standard said there was no guile found in his mouth. When Jesus said something, you could take what he said. You say you're going to stand by my side, you better be there when I need you. If you're not there and you see trouble coming and you run off, you were deceitful. You told me something that wasn't true. That's a lie. That's not what Jesus did. Does this get close to where we live? You give someone your word, I know we can forget something. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But when there is an intent,
that I'll tell you something to your face when it sounds good, but when I get over here, you don't want to hear the report of what I said then, and it's contrary to what I told you. Folks, there's no place for that in the body of Christ. Our standard, there is no guile. Did Jesus play politics when he was on earth? Do you know that is why politics has no place in our dealings with each other? If I can go and I can kind of get so many on my side, and then I'll go through the seat. I'm not talking about dealing in open discussion and talking about issues, but when I go with a purpose and intent of going behind a back and deceitfulness, there's no place for that. What do politicians, and that's a general categorization, what do many politicians do when they're on the campaign trail? They say what sounds good. They say what they think people will vote for. And it's happened in both political parties. So this has nothing to do with where we are today. It happens in all political parties. People say what they think people want to hear. And once they get elected, I can do what I want now. And they don't stand to the promises they made. Folks, that ought never to be among God's people. Jesus set a standard higher than that. There was no guile found in his mouth. And it said when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was accused, when he was talked badly to, it said he didn't come back with hatred or bitterness or say, well, you're telling me off. You just wait till I get my chance. I'll let you know where. Folks, this is the standard. This is what it means to serve the Lord. When someone is contrary to you and they revile you, what is the standard? Jesus set a standard of forgiveness, didn't he? He set a standard of love your enemies. And that meant more than just, well, I'll bite my lip. And y'all have heard me say this before. I'll just bite my lip and not say anything. Say there's too many bloody lip Christians going around. That's not grace. This is something in the heart that it's not just me being quiet, not saying anything, that it's in my heart. I forgive that person. And I truly love that person. And I want to see that person be successful in their life and with the Lord. This is a standard that Jesus set for us. It said when he suffered, he threatened not. You remember in the garden when Peter pulled the sword out ready to do battle? And Jesus said, Peter, put your sword up. You know, sometimes even with spiritual things, folks, we're not to pull out our sword. I'm going to defend the standard. The standard stands on its own merit. God, he set a measurement, and it's true and it's unmovable, folks. And Jesus said when he suffered, he didn't retaliate with threats. He didn't retaliate and say, well, if you do that, I'll do this. He didn't do that. But it said he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Folks, the standard in our life, going back to what we've discussed the last few weeks about suffering, there's going to be a place we come to that, Lord, I commit my way to you. I commit myself to you because I know you will judge righteously. And that means when you are misunderstood and people don't understand what you have done and why you did it, folks, if you are measuring your life to our example, our standard Jesus, it said he's going to judge righteously. He knows your heart. He knows our intents and he knows our motives. And you know, if we're living for the Lord like we shouldn't be afraid of God's knowledge of our heart. It's when we know we're not really living like we should, it's like we don't want to consider the Lord knows why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'd rather argue and say, it's okay, the Bible doesn't say I can't do that. And we try to make a case for doing something or not doing something. With God, it goes beyond that issue. It goes beyond the condition of our heart. What's the motivation? What is the purpose? What is your desire? I'm not finished this morning. I believe the Lord have us closed for now. Jesus set, folks, an example. And he set a standard that we are to follow his steps. It's why it's important for us to read our Bible, folks. If I'm going to be judged on the standard of Jesus Christ, I want to know what the pattern is. I want to know how we live. And so then I need to get acquainted with Jesus for myself. Because I can't afford
to go off the board that you cut. I can see what you did, and that's a help to me. The Bible talks about that. It's a help to see how God blessing your life. And it's like, Lord, I see you blessing them, so help me to get to that standard too. I want to use your measuring tape. I want to use what I see working in your life, but ultimately it always comes back down to a standard or a pattern and the example that Jesus set for us. And folks, it's unmovable. It doesn't change through time. It doesn't change through the generations. And it does not matter what my family or the congregation or the body of Christ or the world does around about me. The standard of Christ is fixed. And He is calling for us this morning in a greater way, come and follow my example. And we will look more into His example later. I appreciate your time this morning.